We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, right here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. And, of course, on the South Point Streaming Network at YouTube as well. And, of course, if you're running around town on a beautiful morning here in Las Vegas, well, you're doing it and listening to us over our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, and, of course, all of our other websites that we broadcast our shows on, like our racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global sites, or maybe your iPhone, Android, or Google phone with your apps, your YouTube app, of course, that you can see and hear us, and your KSHP app that you can hear us over through the radio station, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the Race Day Show for this Thursday as we almost Friday, look forward to this weekend. As you know, this is the down weekend as far as the Triple Crown is concerned. The next jewel of the Triple Crown comes up on a week from Saturday. That, of course, the Preakness Stakes. And, of course, we already know that there will be no Triple Crown winner this year because the Kentucky Derby Sovereignty is passing on the chance to go for a Triple Crown, will not be in the Preakness Stakes. He's going to return to run in the Belmont Stakes, the third jewel of the Triple Crown, that will be held for the second year this year at Saratoga Racecourse in upstate New York and shortened to a mile and a quarter rather than a mile and a half. And as Jonathan Hardoon told us yesterday, maybe one of the reasons is if Sovereignty was to go on and win those two races, since it's only a mile and a quarter at Saratoga, there'll be a little asterisk next to it saying that he didn't do it at a mile and a half. So it would be kind of a consolation type of a Triple Crown if he did do it. But in any case, he won't. He will go on to the Belmont Stakes, but the Preakness Stakes is starting to shape up as a great race as well. And, of course, during the Preakness Week, as you know, there are a lot of, stakes races that will surround Pimlico on next a week from tomorrow and a week from Saturday. On Black Eyed Susan's Day, in addition to the Black Eyed Susans, you'll have the Hilaire DuPont Distaff, the Hilltop, the Miss Preakness Stakes, the Pimlico Special, a race that has been in the past a real good race for the older horses, the handicap horses, and the Very One. All of those stakes races, six of them, will be on Friday, a week from tomorrow, May 16th. And then, of course, on Preakness Day, a whole bunch of stakes races at Pimlico, starting out with the Chick Lang. Then you'll have the Dinner Party Stakes. The Gallaret will be there, the Grade 3 Gallaret. The James W. Murphy, the Jim McKay Turf, the Maryland Sprint, and the Skip Patrick Stakes, and the Spendthrift Barn Sir Barton Stakes, and, of course, the main event, which will be the Preakness Stakes. That'll all happen that day as well. So there's plenty to do between now and then, that's for sure, to take a look at all those races that'll come up during those 2 days next week at Pimlico Racecourse. As a matter of fact, Pimlico will start racing on Friday. Tomorrow will be opening day at Pimlico for their short meet there. And Saturday, Monmouth Park will open. So it's really getting into the summertime weather. Now, as far as the weather is concerned here in Las Vegas, we're getting it now. We're getting into our summertime type of weather. It's 65 degrees outside right now, but we're going to get up to 80 degrees today. And by Saturday and Sunday, we're going to push into the 90s, the high 90s for Saturday and Sunday. And the foreseeable future, as far as the weekend is concerned, in case you want to come up here and join us, going to be nice. It's going to be beautiful. The sun will be shining. So a lot of great stuff there. Hey, we want to thank Dwayne Carlucci yesterday. He gave us a winner in the seventh race at Horseshoe Indianapolis. That winner paid $5.20, bet down from the morning line favorite, but that was a winner. So Dwayne gave us a winner yesterday on the show. Palm Desert got there at $5.20. Now, taking a look, Baeza is back at Santa Anita. He'll be preparing for the Belmont Stakes. He is also not going to the Preakness Stakes. So Baeza is back in Southern California. He'll prepare there in Southern California for the Belmont Stakes, which is about four and a half weeks away right now. Now, as far as the Kentucky Derby runner-up, Journalism. Journalism is still on the eastern part of the country. He has not gone back to California yet. And they're still making a determination. It's still on the fence whether Journalism will go on to the Preakness Stakes or not. Jonathan Hardoon, as well as myself, have the really deep feeling that he'll probably pass the Preakness as well and head on out to the Belmont. But that is not official yet. We got to wait and see. He's still sitting on the fence there. And, of course, a couple of horses from the Kentucky Derby will be going on to the Preakness Stakes. Coming up this weekend, at Belmont at Aqueduct, there'll be five stakes races, two grade twos, two grade threes, and another stakes race. But among the five stakes races coming up on Saturday at Belmont at Aqueduct will be the Peter Pan Stakes. And the Peter Pan Stakes is the local New York prep for the Belmont Stakes. So they feel that some of the horses that are didn't make the Kentucky Derby are not going to the Preakness, but want to try that Belmont Stakes at Saratoga. This is the prep for that, and that'll be on Saturday. I'll go over that field. We'll take a first look at that field with Jonathan Hardoon a little bit later on. And the Ruffian Stakes came up big. 11 are entered in the Ruffian Stakes on Saturday at Belmont Park as well. So we'll take a look at that. As far as the weather conditions around the country today, looks pretty good. 84 degrees in Miami, You've got 74 in New York, but be forewarned. They say that by the weekend, they look looks like they might have some rain in New York and at Belmont at Aqueduct. We'll wait and see about that. In Chicago, 54 degrees. You have Los Angeles at 81 degrees and sunny and beautiful, but there's no racing today in Los Angeles. They will wait until tomorrow to get the racing started on the weekend again at Santa Anita. And again, here in Las Vegas, we're going to be in the 80s. We're going to get up close to 90s. We're going to be in the mid to high 80s by the time we level out today in Las Vegas with the sun shining after all of that rain that we had, you know, on Monday and Tuesday. It finally got out of here, and it's on its way, I guess, to the East Coast. And 95 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona. As far as the clouds and the rain and all that stuff, well, it's concentrating right now on Illinois and Kentucky, and it's heading its way on to the East Coast. So it looks like it'll be pretty good racing conditions for the most of the country today as we go through our racing menu. On the show today, of course, we have Jonathan Ardoon with us, Rich Ang, John Lendo, and Jerry J. And we'll be taking a look at some of the events that will be happening this weekend with Jonathan out for Aqueduct. Taking a look at some of the meets that just closed. Tampa Bay just ended their meet there in Florida, and they had an all-source handle up 4.5%, okay? All-source handles at Tampa Bay up 4.5%. They did a handle of $377,972,374. That's good at Tampa Bay. And the key thing about Tampa Bay was they had great weather for most of the time when the other parts of the country were either canceling or having bad weather. So that helped out a lot, especially with the simulcasting. When players were looking for a fast track to bet on, they went to Tampa Bay. The Aqueduct Spring Meet was down 2.8%. They handled $102,356,937. But you got to really look at that with kind of a different kind of a look, because they had several cancellations and they had a lot of bad weather through the spring meet at Aqueduct. So actually being down only 2.8%, especially with the short fields that they had after the scratches off of those turf races, etc., at Aqueduct when it did rain, that's not bad at all, just being down 2.8% for bad weather there at the Aqueduct spring meet. As far as the entire country was concerned in April, wagering dropped 5.16% in the total wagering handle in the tracks around the country in April. And again, remember, a lot of tracks around the country were hit with extremely bad weather, and a lot of the tracks, like Oaklawn Park, canceled a few of their days as well. So taking a look at April, the wagering dropped, yes, a little bit over 5%, but the races declined 6.15% in as many races as they had over the month of April. So the bad weather and the cancellations really made an impact on the statistics for April around the country. And Oaklawn Park, the successful Oaklawn Park meet, as we were talking about just the other day, I was giving you some stats on the closing there. They were down 7.17% because of the bad weather and because of the cancellations that they had there. So keeping all that in mind, framing that up the way it is, racing didn't do so bad off of all of that bad weather they had, across the country in April. We're looking ahead, though, to the spring now, where there'll be many more racetracks racing throughout the spring and summer, and, of course, hopefully good spring-summer weather to be playing the races around the country. All right, we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we have Jonathan Ardoon standing by, and, of course, like I said, Rich Ang, John Lendo, and Jerry Jackowitz. And, of course, get started on the chat box. If you go to the chat box on the YouTube page that we have, just go there. If you haven't already, subscribe. Subscription is free, and then start chatting away. On this morning show, we will be right back. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas. Now it's time to get to the racing menu today. And although we only had four tracks yesterday, we have more tracks today. As a matter of fact, Aqueduct back in business, as well as Gulfstream Park. So let's get started with the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, Simulcast Centers, and racetracks around the country. We remind you, as we always do, that the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas in the Pacific time zone. These will be the first post times that roll out in our race book today here at the South Point. So if you're not in the Pacific time zone, adjust to it. No matter where you're at, adjust to it from where you're at to the Pacific time zone. Yay, then you won't miss any chances of making a play. And I don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. We begin with Gulfstream Park. They've got nine races today as they continue with their Royal Palms meeting there. 9:50 is first post time at Gulfstream Park. And Gulfstream Park has a first post time again at 9:50. Remember, they had the mandatory payoff over the weekend in their Pick 6 jackpot. So they'll be starting anew today. Belmont at Aqueduct. Now, as I said, they're bracing for some bad weather coming up over the weekend. But right now, it's sunny and beautiful at Belmont Park. 72 degrees for this afternoon's racing at Belmont. So the track is fast. The outer and inner turf courses both are labeled good. Track fast. Turf courses are labeled good. First post time is 10:10 a.m. today. And of the turf races, you have the seventh race on the turf and the eighth race on the turf as well. And those two races will be still on the turf. The eighth on the outer turf and the seventh on the inner turf. First post time at Belmont at Aqueduct today is set at 10:10 at Belmont at Aqueduct today. Then next on the menu comes Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has nine races. Their first post time is at 11:10. They got eight thoroughbred races. The final race will be a quarter horse race. First post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis, 11:10. Then we go to Hawthorne Racecourse. Hawthorne Racecourse has a first post time today for seven races at 12:40. Churchill Downs is back in business after that derby. They finally cleaned out the place. Everything is set and ready to go again at Churchill. They have, however, an evening first post time at Churchill Downs. Here on the West Coast in the Pacific time zone, Churchill will start their first post time at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. is first post at Churchill Downs today, which means 5 p.m. there in Louisville, Kentucky. Eight races today at Churchill, and again, first post time is at 2 p.m. Pacific. Penn National is next. Penn National has seven races today, and their first post time is 2:45. Evangeline Downs will kick in with an eight-race card, and their first post time at Evangeline is 3:30. And then we wrap it up with Charlestown. Charlestown Races has a Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $10,740, and a first post time for eight races at Charlestown is at 4 p.m., 4 o'clock at Charlestown. All righty, let's bring in Mr. Jonathan Hardoon. Jonathan standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. It's getting to be real nice weather here today. I had a chance to do some things in the yard yesterday when I got back home. It's now we're getting into that weather, and we're gonna savor the high 80s and low 90s before we hit into the hundreds, which will probably be real soon. But it looks like a great day of racing out at Aqueduct today.
It's actually a beautiful day, Ralph. They had rain the last few days. That's why the turf course is being called good. But today is beautiful. The question is going to be over the weekend. They are expecting rain to come through. I hope it doesn't mess with Saturday's card, because they have a terrific card here Saturday. Five stakes, including the Ruffian, the Peter Pan, like you said. And those are full fields, so some good betting opportunities for people.
Well, let's take a look at the Peter Pan, which they have already drawn for. It's at a mile and one-eighth. This is a grade three, 200 grand up for grabs. It's on the dirt, obviously. But the key thing about it is this is the prep for the Belmont Stakes that's coming up at Saratoga. And the Peter Pan saw a full field in this from the rail out quickly. Vasimo, Irate Ortiz Jr. for Todd Pletcher. The two is Happily Delusional, Paco Lopez, trainer Louis C. Linder Jr. The three is Surfside Moon, Junior Alvarado for James Lawrence II. The four is Hill Road, Flavian Pratt riding for Chad Brown. The five is McAfee, John Velasquez for Dick Dutrow Jr. The six is Uncaged, Kendrick Carmouche for Todd Pletcher. The seven, First Pitch, Jose Lascano for Jose Jimenez. The eight is Captain Cook, Manny Franco for Dick Dutrow Jr. The nine is Brereton's Baytown, Marshall Mendez for Paul McEntee, I should say. And the 10 is Lordship, Dylan Davis for Chad Brown. So it looks like Chad Brown, Dick Dutrow, and Todd Pletcher have a couple each in the race. Of the 11, of the 10, I should say, going the mile and one-eighth.
Yeah, the interesting horse is Captain Cook, who did not run well last time out in the Wood Memorial. But remember, he was the favorite over Rodriguez, who would have been, you know, certainly made his presence felt if he ran in the Derby. So you may want to draw a line through the last race. Maybe he had some sort of excuse. Mm-hmm. And there's another interesting horse in there, Hill Road from the Chad Brown barn. He was also scratched from some stake because I think he came up with an illness or something, but he'd be making his second start since joining the Chad Brown barn. Last year, he was trained by a European trainer, and again, now he's been under Chad Brown's care for a while, so I would expect some big improvement there.
What about Dick Dutrow's too?
Well, that's Captain Cook. He was the favorite. I told you last time out against Rodriguez. He didn't fire his best shot, that's for sure, but everyone's entitled to a bad day.
His other horse, though, is the one I was really referring to, McAfee, that gets the services of John Velasquez.
Well, McAfee went off 30-1 in the same race that Captain Cook was the favorite in.
Wow.
So,
all right, so he's there. I guess he's there for the owners then.
I guess, you know, who knows, but it's going to be interesting.
It is going to be an interesting field because, well, we know the horses that ran in the Derby, and they're waiting either for the Belmont Stakes or actually going in the Preakness, but very few of them are. The ones that ran up the track are going in that. But, you know, between waiting for the Belmont and the Preakness field there, the Peter Pan seems to be the race that a lot of the trainers think that their horses were just a little bit maybe late on getting into the Kentucky Derby
picture
or whatever. And now
they didn't have enough points, Ralph. They may not have had enough points, so they were forced to, you know. And this used to be a big deal when they ran at Belmont. The Peter Pan was like, you know, people would use this as the stepping stone into the Belmont. Not so much over the last few years. I guess it's lost some of its tarnish. But, you know, Neil Drysdale, when he had that good horse, it slipped my mind.
AP Indy?
AP Indy, right. Yeah. I think he won Peter Pan before going to the Belmont. So this used to be really a stepping stone for a lot of trainers and good old-time trainers that had horses that would run here and then go back and run in the Belmont Stakes.
But because of the situation with the horses now from the Derby going, and some are, you know, passing the Preakness, some are not, some are going to, it becomes like a pivotal race again for some horses that can pop up and run big in this Peter Pan to become, horses to really look at for the Belmont. And especially since it's only a mile and a quarter from a mile and a half, and this race is a mile and one-eighth.
But the interesting thing is this race will be run at Aqueduct, and the Belmont will be run at Saratoga. So when they used to run the Peter Pan at Belmont, well, they got a chance to run over the track and see if they liked the track. But it's not the same anymore because you're running 300 miles away on a different track come Belmont Day at Saratoga.
And, you know, looking at all the things considered there, there's just, more elements in trying to figure out what's going on. Now, the Peter Pan drew 10, though. They drew 10 horses in that race, and the Ruffian to be held on the same day for the four-year-olds and up fillies and mares, that drew a field of 11. So they got some horses that want to run in these stakes races. I think the Ruffian at a flat mile there, a one-turn mile, I might add, at Aqueduct, is a very interesting field of fillies and mares. From the rail out, take the money, honey. With El Tio Ruiz riding for Michael Moore. The two is Morning Matcha, Paco Lopez for Robert Reed Jr. The three is Catherine Wheel, Flavian Pratt for Chad Brown. The four is Sterling Silver, Javier Castellano for Bill Mott. The five, Here's the Kicker, Ricardo Santana Jr. for Safi Joseph Jr. The six is Dazzling Move, Ired Ortiz Jr. for Safi Joseph Jr. So he has two fillies that are going to be breaking next to each other. The six is Jody's Pride, Joel Rosario for Jorge A. Abreu. The nine is Gun Song, John Velasquez for Mark Hennig. The 10 is My Main Squeeze, Manny Franco for Mike Maker. And the 11 is Headline Numbers, Dylan Davis for Chad Brown. So that comes up a very interesting contest as well.
Yeah, it's a full field. These are four-year-old fillies. The Peter Pan is for three-year-old colts and geldings, obviously. So full fields, Ralph. That's all people want. They're good betting races. The whole card on Saturday, to be honest with you, all five of the stakes are really loaded. Again, they have a couple of them scheduled for the turf. I'm sure they'll do everything they can to keep them on the turf. But they are expecting weather. Even the Jan Nehru, the seventh race, only a short field of six. But those are some nice horses in there. Some old-timers. You got Full Moon Madness from Michelle Nevin. This is a five-year-old owned by JMS Stables. People in Southern California certainly familiar with that barn.
Yeah.
And, again, the whole card Saturday, it's really they're putting on a terrific card. So hopefully the weather stays good so we could take advantage.
And don't forget, in that particular race, the John A. Nehrud, Doug O'Neill sends out Anarchist from the West Coast. Joel Rosario will ride there. So we'll see how he does in that race against the horses in New York.
Yeah, and he's run against some really nice horses. I mean, he's run against Booth. He's run against, really good horses. Elite Power, he ran against, finished second a couple of years ago to Elite Power. But listen, this is a horse that certainly has a lot of class to him. Only three wins, 7 seconds, but he's run against better horses than I think he's going to meet on Saturday.
Maybe the biggest surprise on Saturday is the Man of War. This is a grade two on the turf at 1 3/8. And when you get turf horses, turf stakes races in New York, you're always looking for the Chad Brown horses. But in this case, only five are entered in this race, none from the Chad Brown barn.
What are the chances of that, Ralph? I mean, the racing secretary had to be shocked, and he's riding a turf horse, a grade two turf stake, and Chad Brown doesn't show up with any entries. It's like unheard of.
In addition to the four stakes races we talked about, the other stakes race, the fifth one on the card, will be the take the A-Train stakes as well. So it's going to be a very interesting contest. As you say, Aqueduct has got a great card on Saturday. Let's just hope that the weatherman is maybe Mother Nature maybe
misses.
Will divert away from Aqueduct Racetrack for Saturday's races. That's for sure. And, of course, we get back into business at Churchill Downs. Yes, Virginia, there is racing after the Kentucky Derby, and it starts today at Churchill Downs with a 2 p.m. Pacific time post time. They've got quite a few competitive races today at Churchill. And so I guess what we could do is get started with some picks. I'm sure you got one at Churchill.
Well, we have one at Belmont first, Ralph. It comes in the fourth race today. You have a late scratch in there, the five-horse Torpedo Run. The rest of them go. And I like the number three horse in here, Lou. Lou is a three-year-old colt from the Amelia Green barn. Amelia Green is a terrific young trainer. She worked for trainer Todd Pletcher for years. Now she went out on her own, and she's had a lot of success. I love the rider switch to Flavian Pratt, 4-1 on the morning line. Number three, Lou, wins today's fourth race out at Belmont at Aqueduct.
And doesn't everybody have a friend somewhere named Lou?
Yes.
Let's make sure he is everybody's friend today, the horse that is, in the fourth race, number three, Lou, with Flavian Pratt aboard, number three in the fourth race, right in the middle there of the early pick five and early pick four at Aqueduct today. And that track is fast today. Beautiful day out the Big A. All right, what about Churchill Downs?
Well, we're going to look at the seventh race today, and I'm assuming they're on the turf because I don't think it rained the last few days, even though after the Derby, I heard Sunday was another total washout. So they've had a lot of rain over the last 10 days or so. But I like this horse, whether they stay on the turf or come off the turf, and it's the number one horse in here. Here for a good time. Louis Sayas for Brendan Walsh. This horse has the advantage of breaking from the rail. She's an improving horse. She's getting better with each start. 7-2 on the morning line. Number one, Here for a Good Time, wins today's seventh race out of Churchill Downs.
Well, we do know that there is rain in the area, but it could miss Churchill Downs. It's kind of a spotty situation right now as you look at the radar from the weather map. And so in this race, the turf or the main track, you like number one. Here's for a good time. Here for a good time. The one in the seventh race today at Churchill Downs. And, of course, Jonathan, you have full handicapping sheets for both Churchill and Belmont at Aqueduct.
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph.
Before we let you go, we just wanted to make sure that you have no soapbox to be on.
No, we got it all out of the way on Wednesday.
I just wanted to make sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan. Enjoy the good weather today, and hopefully let's get that extended through Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Stay safe and be well.
You got it, my man. Okay. When we come back, of course, we'll have Rich Eng with us, and of course, John Lindo and Jerry J yet to go. So don't go away on this race day show and get chatting in the chat box on YouTube. Go to YouTube, our page. Get started, subscribe, and you'll be off and chatting with our chat box. And boy, these guys are chatting away. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this almost Friday, Thursday Race Day show. Time to go to Rich Eng, standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Richie, we've far enough away from the Derby now. We're looking ahead to the Preakness Stakes, and everybody should be well-rested. And we get to a weekend coming up this week, and, of course, you'll have your selections back for Santa Anita starting tomorrow on the Race Day Show. And, of course, like Jonathan and I were talking about a little bit earlier, about the great card that got set up at Belmont at Aqueduct for Saturday, including the Peter Pan Stakes. And I know when you worked at Aqueduct and the New York Racing Association, that, of course, the Peter Pan was a big prep for the Belmont.
Oh, absolutely. Year after year, Ralph, it's always been a feeder for starters in the Belmont Stakes, and some big price winners have come out of the Peter Pan, and it's been a very, very effective, very effective prep. However, in past years, the Peter Pan was run at Belmont, and the Belmont Stakes were run at Belmont. But now that the Belmont Stakes will be run at Saratoga, I'm not sure if it's going to have the same crossover, but you know, we'll find out. It'll still be a feeder race.
Do you know at all how many more years Saratoga is going to be hosting the Belmont Stakes, and how many more years it is until they complete that state-of-the-art new Belmont facility?
It's a minimum one more year. It might even be as much as two, Ralph. It's a humongous project, and some of the artist renderings have been on the internet. And it looks like it's going to be fabulous. And, I think I speak for a lot of horse racing fans. We cannot wait for it to reopen because they do intend to host Breeders' Cups again at Belmont Park. So that would bring the Breeders' Cup each on rotation back to New York, which it deserves to be.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you talk about the artist renderings that I've seen as well on the internet. And if the facility comes out anywhere near those artist renderings, is going to be one state-of-the-art, beautiful facility, that Belmont Park, the new Belmont Park, I should say.
Yeah, and, I haven't been back since they built the hockey and basketball arena on the grounds, but the New York Islanders play in a location that used to be part of the parking lot at Belmont Park. So it'll be kind of neat to have the Islanders home arena, and you got a brand new Belmont Park that's right off the Cross Island Parkway, but that's a sports center for Long Island.
I got to tell you, you got your Las Vegas Golden Knights cap on, Richie, and they better start doing some business there. This was not a good opening for the second round.
Well, he jumped out to a 2-0 lead. Mark Stone scored a couple of goals, yeah, the captain, in the first period. But then for like the next 40 minutes, they were completely dominated by Edmonton.
Yeah.
And without the goalie Aiden Hill playing as well as he did, it could have been a lot worse than the final of 4-2. Empty net goal actually made it, was the fourth goal.
Yeah.
But he kept the Knights in the game. But I think it was like the second period. They had one shot, and they said it was from like 60 feet away from the goal. So that's not going to win playoff games.
No.
They got to play a lot better.
You got to get in. You got to get in your area and have a lot more shots on goal to try to get those pucks in there and get some scores. That's for sure. Hopefully, game two will be a lot better for us here in Las Vegas. Well, it's time to go to get a pick, and of course, I think you're going back to Horseshoe Indianapolis today, huh?
No, we're going to go to Churchill Downs. We're going to actually end up with a Scirocco play, Ralph, in race 7 at Churchill.
Okay.
It's a route race on the grass. But the horse that I'm giving out is the number 9, Love and Poetry, Florent Giroux, riding for Sherry DeVoe. And Sherry DeVoe had a real quiet meet at Keeneland, but you can tell some of her horses are starting to wake up. She won a couple of races for sure over the Churchill Downs Derby Oaks meet days. And this is a top trainer. She's going to win a lot of races this year. I think she's really getting things revved up. So 5-1 is the square price with Giroux riding for Sherry DeVoe, 9, Love and Poetry, race 7.
Now, I think the note I got, you did have an original pick at Horseshoe Indianapolis, but the horse was scratched.
That's correct, and even though the horse got scratched, I'll give you the angle, is the fact that I am looking for Turfway horses that are shipping out and running at other tracks. I think between the quality of racing at Turfway this winter and the condition of the horse running over the top of the surface, these horses are dead fit, and people will underestimate the quality coming out of the winter meet at Turfway. So I'm looking for Turfway horses.
Ah, good handicapping note there for the players out there for the Turfway horses. But in the seventh race at Churchill, you like Sherry DeVoe's horse, the 9, Love and Poetry, the 9 in the seventh race. And with Jonathan coming with the 1, there's the Scirocco play, the 1991 Exacta box. Hey, thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we continue on this Almost Friday Thursday race day show, and when we come back, we have John Lindo and Jerry Jackwist to wrap up our show. Don't go away.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on the Race Day Show to wrap up this Thursday edition. And for James, who's on the chat box, wants to know why I'm wearing a cap that says Napoli on it. Well, it's because I'm Italian and I'm Napolitan. So, American from the Napolitan heritage. Okay, let's go to John Lindo, standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. You know, I'm guessing that all of us have finally got our energy back now and looking ahead to this weekend in Southern California. Any word about journalism? What's the deal with him? Is he going or isn't he?
He's on the fence. He's training like he's going to go. I honestly don't know. My gut feeling is probably a little bit more than 50-50 that he does not. But Michael McCarthy, he's won a Preakness before with Ron Bauer. He likes to be there. So I think if it was the trainer's call, he probably would go. But we'll see what happens here. And you got to remember, the owners of journalism, Eclipse Thoroughbreds,
yeah,
they're some of those guys doing as much fighting as anybody in that Florida decoupling bill over there with First Racing.
Yep, that's for sure. But this is the Preakness, and he did run second in the Derby. It would be nice to see journalism in there and win the Preakness, because then the Belmont Stakes becomes the rubber match, and it becomes a must-see race at that point in time. But we'll wait and see for sure. Let's do the best thing for the horses. And I know John Sheriff's with the Baeza has already said that, and Mike McCarthy will do the same with journalism, as Bill Mott has done with Sovereignty. So, but there are some assignments, jockey assignments for Preakness winners, Preakness horses already, right?
Yeah, looking up as to what I have right now as probables, you have River Thames, that's a Todd Pletcher horse, going to be ridden by Arad Ortiz. Gosker is going to be ridden by Luis Saez. American Promise, who did run in the Derby for Dwayne Lucas, going to be ridden by Nick Juarez. Clever Again, a really up-and-coming horse for Steve Asmussen, going to be ridden by Jose Ortiz. Rodriguez, who was scratched from the Derby, is going to be ridden by Mike Smith. You have a horse coming over from Europe, was second in the UAE Derby, Heart of Honor, and going to be ridden by Safi Osborne. That's the daughter of the trainer. Hey Billy, who won the Tessio, the qualifier in Maryland, is going to be ridden by Raul Mena. Those are the probables right now, but obviously that's a changing list.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see the trainer, his daughter, ride the horse for him in the Preakness. I'm sure that's going to be a great storyline that they'll emphasize on the NBC telecast. Well, looking at Churchill Downs, they're racing again at Churchill Downs. It's a 2 o'clock post time. It'll be a evening post time there in Louisville, but a late afternoon post time for us here in Las Vegas. And I guess we do have a jockey trainer standings after the first big week of racing, the Derby week there. And this obviously might change with some of the jockeys who did well during Derby week moving on to other racetracks. But what do we have there?
Right now, leading rider after that first long week at Churchill, Jose Ortiz, he's got 11 wins.
Wow.
Luis Saez is second with 10. And then third place, Flavian Pratt, had 5, but he's now riding based in New York. So he'll fall off the leaderboard there at Churchill Downs. As far as the trainers, a lot of trainers got a little bit of action there at Churchill. Brad Cox had four winners opening week. Then you have Bill Mott, Chad Brown, Eddie Keneally, Cherie DeVoe, Mike Maker, John Ortiz, and Greg Foley. They each had three winners. And Ralph, despite all the weather they had there over that Derby weekend, favorites for the first week won at a 47% rate, and that just goes to show you, you know, when you get those higher quality races, the cream tends to rise to the top.
Yeah, those races are based on a lot of those stakes races there. 47% favorites at Churchill Downs during the big Derby week of contests there. Well, now we move on to the nuts and bolts of the Churchill Downs meeting at 2 o'clock post time. And, John, you do have a Linda report for today at Churchill Downs that's available here at the South Point free of charge. It covers all the races, as suggested late pick four, and, of course, all the goody information we just talked about, all on one comprehensive sheet, and that is the Linda Report for today at Churchill Downs, available here only in one place in the gaming capital. That's here at the South Point, and it is free of charge, complimentary to the race players because they love horse players here at the South Point Racebook. John, what are we doing?
Let's go to race number three at Churchill Downs today. In the third race, number four, Soul Loot, walked out of the gate last time at Oakland Park, but finished up pretty well. Finished third against maiden special weight horses. That was his first try against older horses, so he accomplished a lot that day. He's improved with every start. That win last time, that race has already produced two next out winners, so it's a live race. Three works at Churchill Downs, so he's had a feel for the track. He just looks like a horse going the right direction. 3-1 on the morning line, number four, Soul Loot, race number three, Churchill Downs.
All right, third race at Churchill. Remember, first race post time is 2 o'clock, so you got plenty of time. In the third race at Churchill, number four, Soul Loot. The four in the third race, John Lindo's play off the Lindo Report. And again, a full Lindo Report for today's racing at Churchill Downs, right here available free of charge at the South Point. Before I let you go, John, we're getting ready for another weekend of racing down in Southern California. What's it look like?
We'll handle the Santa Anita as we always do Friday through Sunday. And on Saturday, I will also add the late pick fives, both at Belmont and Aqueduct for that good stakes card there. And a really interesting sequence at Churchill Downs in that late pick five, some tough races. So we'll do both of those pick fives and have a little bit east to west. And, you know, the cards at Santa Anita this week are a little bit light. They're kind of in between, waiting for the better races on Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, so we're going to have light fields there at Santa Anita. But yet, you know, the other day they had a pick six to pay $74,000, so I don't know how that worked out. But in any case, we'll keep on top of that racing in Southern California, of course, always with you at the helm there. Hey, thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Now, Jerry, yesterday when I asked you about your assessment of the Kentucky Derby, you had mentioned the top couple of horses there, the Baeza and the Sovereignty, who won it. And you said you wanted to talk about journalism. We ran out of time, so we'll pick up with your thoughts of the race and journalism.
Well, when I did the seminar on journalism, I explained that I had two views on him, and I wasn't sure which view was right. Mm-hmm. One view was that the previous race, the Santa Anita Derby, was very harsh on him and was a big effort by virtue of the fact that he had to overcome a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. If you look at any set of speed figures, Ragazin speed figures, Jerry J's speed figures, even the Byers speed figures, the Santa Anita Derby came up slower than his previous race, the San Felipe. Mm-hmm. So typically, when I see a horse that runs, particularly a young horse in development who runs very fast, then has a soft race where he wins, where that's really a positive sign. So one side of me said, oh, this could be a very good forward-looking sign. But the other one suggested that maybe the horse had run two really hard races in a row, and it was a little bit covered up by the fact that he had to overcome trouble. When we see trouble in a race, it's very hard to quantify. Is that two lengths of trouble? Is that five? It's very hard to know how much effort the horse has to make to overcome that trouble. Uh-huh. And so you know, my view of him in the Kentucky Derby was that he was making a winning move coming off the turn, and he went flat. He lost his he lost that extra amount of energy deep inside, you know, that every athlete has, that when they call on that last ounce of effort to really finish strong, it wasn't there. And he labored. I thought he labored through the stretch. And so my view of the race is, to give you an honest, is that Sovereignty ran a forward race. Baeza certainly ran a forward race. And Journalism ran a little backward, or what we might call paired tops, which is not, doesn't give you the best finish that you could want.
No.
And I think with that in mind, it makes Journalism, in terms of class of horse or comparative ability to the other horses, maybe a little better than these. If he's able to finish on level terms with them running super forward races and him running maybe a backward race. I projected 78.8 for him. He ran 78, so I'm not going to – that's pretty close. I'm not going to quibble, but I didn't put a star on him. And a forward race with him, he would have run 79 or better. So he didn't run the forward race at all, and I think that's something to keep forward. If I were to bet all of these horses once again at the same condition, on the same situation, where I thought that Journalism was moving up to the race in a proper way, I would take Journalism against Sovereignty and Baeza.
All right, and
certainly against Sovereignty. Baeza is a little different horse. He's really, we don't know. He's just improving now. So
now, that is a very good assessment, because I'm going to ask you now, hypothetical, and you could just, off of what you saw and him kind of like, let's use the bounce back theory, because I think what you're saying is he didn't performed as well as he should have in the Derby because of the circumstances.
No, what I said was, that's not right. I said, I think he performed fantastic considering he wasn't in the best condition.
Considering the circumstances, that's what I'm talking about. And so now, let's say they opt to go to the Preakness. A bet? A good bet?
I would take Sovereignty against, I would take Journalism against Sovereignty even up to next time out under any condition.
All right. Now, you said next time out. I said Preakness. Now, what if...
If it's the Preakness.
Okay. What if he passes the Preakness and has three more weeks to recover, whatever, and goes in the He goes in the Belmont. Is it the same scenario? Would you again bet him, maybe have more confidence in betting him off of a bigger layoff?
Well, I think he's the better horse. So the first blush answer is yes. I mean, there's a lot of things involved in it.
Sure.
A lot of theory, you know, handicapping form theories. But my feeling is that he's the better horse. He'll recover faster. And he'll get on to his better racing faster than the other one. That's what makes him, in my opinion, potentially a classier horse. That's what we want to find out. I mean, that's what we're really testing for.
Okay. All right, time
so,
to finish up, please.
Yeah, let me give you a play today.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask for. Now we're going to go to a beautiful day, finally, at Belmont at Aqueduct. And you have a full Jerry J's Power Pages for today's 8-race card at Belmont. And where are we going with the pick?
Let's go to the fourth race, Ralph. Number six, Narciso Dolly, really appeals to me. I think this horse hates a muddy track, was in a muddy racetrack last time out, tried hard, quit, just what you really want. This is called buried form. I think going back to a fast track will be very hard to beat. I like the six at 9-2 with Rosario up. Take the six over the 1-2-3, small reverses, 1-2-3 back over the six. I'm all about the sixth, Narciso Dolly, in the fourth at Aqueduct.
All right. In the fourth race at Aqueduct, you like number six, Narciso Dolly, the six over 1-2-3 and reverse. Jonathan Hardoon came earlier with number three, Lou, in the race. So I have my second Sirocco play for the day in the fourth race today at Belmont. I have the Sirocco play will be the 3-6-6-3 exacta box. You have the six over 1-2-3. And with your philosophy of always reversing the play, you have a good shot there as well as I do of hitting the Scirocco play then.
Yeah, no, I'll probably bet extra on 6-3.
Okay. 3-6. Want to remind everybody the full Jerry J's Power Pages for Belmont at Aqueduct available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. And, Jerry, you just have one more thing to say for this closing Thursday show, so say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.